Welcome to the Be the Sheepdog podcast. It's me, Coach Dan. I'm here with Tanya and Megan. Say hello.
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 Today we're going to be talking about the experience of being pregnant, working out, coaching, and all that comes with it.
Motherhood.
Motherhood, yes. So not so much me talking. But we got Megan here with, I don't know if you've noticed, she's got twins on the way, right?
Sure do.
Girls?
Yes.
That's fun.
That's one word.
Tanya is not pregnant.
Thank you.
But we have two little ones, of course, Ava and Odin. So, we're going to start it off and we're going to try to go from beginning to almost end with Megan, and then we'll see what Tanya's got for us. But I guess we'll start off with Megan. So I guess let's start off with kind of what were you, when you first found out, were you nervous? What were you thinking at that time?
Yep, I was immediately nervous and I didn't know, like, I immediately wondered what I was going to do, like, especially here, because I hadn't even told my family, but I was nervous just to, like, move at all, because it's kind of like, okay, well, there's, like, at first I thought there was just one baby in there, that's how soon this was, and so I was nervous enough about that, and I remember being here and actually telling Tanya just because I really didn't want to worry about it.
You immediately want to put, like, the fragile sticker
on. Like, right. Which I knew, though, that I didn't actually need to, but I don't know. I think I just needed to let it settle first, but by the time I let it settle, then I found out it was twins, and I was like, oh, God, now I really don't know what I can and can't do. So I ended up telling you guys actually, like, really early on, but just because I was nervous about, like, if I move a certain way, like, what is it going to feel like? How am I going to know what I can and can't do? So, definitely nervous, but...
Yeah, and I feel like that's a huge thing these days where, I mean, everyone goes to the internet, can I work out when I'm pregnant? But really, it depends on the doctor you get, it depends on you, how your body reacts, and obviously not everyone's the same at that point. And we always tell people here at the gym, if you are trying to get pregnant or you are pregnant, it is good to let the coach know if you have that relationship with them. So it's something to look out for.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those weird things because as a coach, we tend to find out earlier than family, earlier than friends. But just like you would tell your doctor or, you know, your esthetician, like, you have to, there are some people that have to know you're pregnant, and we kind of are one of them. So just open up that dialogue early, and that way, right when you find out, we can start working with you. There's no, you know, immediate danger. There's nothing, like, if you don't tell us within the first 6 weeks, then, but it is very helpful for us because you will notice an immediate change in some things. So it's good for us so that we're not telling you, you know, push harder, push harder, push harder. And in the back of your mind, you're like, this is everything I've got. But it's also helpful too, because not everybody does want to tell people right away. So if we know, then we can kind of skirt around it and, you know, kind of help you keep that secret, so to speak, for the time being.
Yeah, keeping the secrets. It was definitely...
Well, pro tip, don't tell the 7-year-old. Like, which I did, and actually, credit to her, she did not
she
tell
didn't
anyone.
She didn't
tell anyone.
She didn't tell anybody.
Which I did. I told her knowing that, like, obviously she could tell, but...
Megan told Ava before she told us. That's what she's talking about. She told Ava one night while we were here doing some team leader stuff, and then Ava... got to tell me, and that was fun and exciting because come to find out, Ava is probably the third most excited person for these babies to come, aside from Megan and Corey.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, we got the start. You're just getting pregnant, just found out. And then, I mean, we as coaches and business owners, we initially, when you were first pregnant with Ava, we didn't necessarily have the gym. We were just training out of the house.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have to kind of focus on that stuff. What are some, not necessarily tips, but what did you find that helped you make you feel better about working out or even coaching people that were pregnant?
So for me, I think that when I first got pregnant with both Ava and Odin, I think it was more prominent with Odin because I was so much more active at the time. But for me, I was so tired. The first thing that came with both of them was complete exhaustion. So for me, I was so tired that I was in like a really weird spot, like trying to coach, but could barely, you know, stand, and mix in a little bit of morning sickness, and like you're running to the bathroom while you're trying to coach and nobody knows you're pregnant yet, and it was all kinds of weird and awkward. But I found that moving when I did feel good was the most helpful, and even moving when I didn't feel great was actually more helpful than I thought it would be. So I, you know, kind of having an off day, low on energy, but I don't feel bad, I just don't feel great. I really did find that on the days that I was able to get in, you know, a workout, even if it was only half of what the class was doing, I ended up feeling much better. Just moving a little bit ended up giving me more energy than not moving at all.
I found this even my worst, like, I'm lucky I haven't had really any, like, serious issues, but even the days where I felt like crappy, like super tired, just not feeling like doing anything, those are the days that were actually the best in the gym so far. Like, I was like, oh, I guess I'm glad I came because moving around helped.
You keep talking.
And then,
oops, sorry.
I think too, when you first find out you're pregnant, part of the question about like, where do you go? What do? Where do you get your information from? I was very open with both of my doctors. I had a regular OB when I was pregnant with Ava, and then when I was pregnant with Odin, I ended up going with a nurse midwife through the hospital. So I was still at a hospital. All my appointments were through the doctor's office. I was just seeing a nurse midwife, and I was very open with them. This is what I do. This is what I have been doing. This is what I want to continue doing. And they were both very, very much in agreement that because I had been working out before, it wasn't going to be any type of shock to the system. I had been working out before. I was able to listen to my body, continue moving. And I really tried my hardest to get my information from my doctors and not from, you know, the latest mm-hmm. Instagram star that found out she was pregnant too.
Right.
I made sure that I found reputable resources and not just like, oh, well, I saw a 15-second Instagram story and she can do that, so I can probably do that too. I talked a lot with my doctor about, you know, different movements, weight loads, stuff like that, and I was able to kind of research but also listen to my doctors and take an informed approach as far as working out goes.
Yeah, because it's almost, it seems like it's fairly new working out while you're pregnant. It's kind of one of those things where, like, it was kids can't work out because it'll stunt their growth. Mm-hmm. Like, pregnant women can't work out because it'll harm your kid, or which is maybe true for some, not true for others. But I know it was always a big thing in CrossFit because they would always post, they're super controversial with posting pictures online and everything, and they would post women lifting weights mm-hmm. like 8-9 months pregnant, and just the amount of comments they would get about, oh, that's so wrong. What are they doing? It's like, you have no idea what that doctor said. You don't know that person. So it's definitely on the individual to talk to their doctor. And I mean, not necessarily doctors aren't all, some doctors, most doctors, I don't know, don't even know what lifting weights are. So it's not necessarily, but you gotta find someone that you trust, really.
Yeah, you have to open the dialogue and you have to be comfortable with your provider. If your OB tells you, you can't lift anything heavier than a laundry basket, I think that's kind of like a common, you know, phrase that they use. Don't lift more than 20 pounds, don't lift more than a laundry basket, something along those lines.
I think maybe a woman came up with that one.
I mean, it's not the worst idea I've ever heard of.
Oh, the guy has to do all the laundry now, huh?
But if you, you know, if your doctor's telling you this stuff, you can ask them, you know, what is the reasoning? And maybe it's because you're high risk. Maybe it's because there's all different reasons why you wouldn't be able to lift more than 20 pounds while you're pregnant. But there's also many reasons why you can lift more than 20 pounds while you're pregnant. So it's worth opening the dialogue and talking to your doctor. And if you genuinely feel like their opinion is just an old school opinion or not an informed opinion or just going with, you know, some of the myths that you've heard, don't be afraid to seek out a different provider, a different doctor, and ask them what their opinion is on it.
I mean, when my primary told me, remember, like, months before I was even...
I do remember
she
that.
She had said that, well, if you're thinking about it, then you should dial back your workouts starting now. This was months before, like, we were even
trying to get pregnant.
So that kind of, like, freaked me out a little bit, but I knew that she's my primary, she's not my OB, and she was new to me anyway. And then when I talked to my OB, the first thing I asked her was... You know, I like to...
Can I work out?
Yeah. I was like, well, can I still work out? Like, do I have to change anything? And she's like, keep doing whatever it is you've been doing. And we talked about it. And she said, you know, listen to your body. And there are, like, physiological things that change. But as long as you're paying attention and you have someone you trust that's training you, then you'll be fine. And we've, like, never talked about it since because we haven't needed to. Which I was happy about because my primary kind of painted a different picture, but that's fine.
I was very fortunate. My midwife was, like, excited that I worked out. She used to ask me at all of the appointments, you know, how's it going? How are your workouts? What did you do today? She was excited that I not only worked out, but that I lifted weights, and she told me that it was beneficial. She said that, in her informed opinion, it was going to make labor and delivery easier for me because I was keeping my muscles engaged. I was keeping them working. I was able to maintain muscle tone versus sometimes when you are pregnant and you're not doing anything at all, then you're actually losing some of all of that work that you've already worked so hard for.
Yeah, so... What,
You have to talk really quiet, we're videoing.
Yeah, so, essentially, you found out you were pregnant, you were slightly worried. Oh, don't touch that, buddy.
Oh, dude, please don't touch.
And then, so you're coming in, working out. Do you remember, like, the first time you're like, oh, this doesn't really feel like I should be doing this.
Yeah, we did back squats, and this was, like, wicked early on. And it was completely fine, and then all of a sudden I had, like, really bad, like, pulling, burn. Like, it felt like I was pulling a muscle without actually pulling it. And right away I was like, whoa, kind of took my breath away, and as soon as I told Tanya, she knew exactly what it was. And so that's when I stopped squatting all the way to 90. Like, I just would do less than that. And sometimes after that, it did feel good, but generally speaking, like, I was so surprised by, like, how early on it just, I was like, oh God, I already can't do stuff. Like, this isn't going to be fun. Like, what else is going to happen? But it was totally fine. I just, you know, luckily being here and having someone that, you know, knows their stuff and someone who's lived through it too, like, I could just be like, okay, this is what I feel, and you knew right away what it was, and right. I could easily adjust, but...
So it was back squats for you. Taya, did you,
So mine you remember? Is, mine's kind of embarrassing because it wasn't even so much at the gym. Yes. And then you have a two-year-old who all they ever want is snacks.
Mommy, I don't have snacks.
Okay, we'll go home and get snacks pretty soon. Anybody who comes to the gym and knows Odin will laugh at this because the kid's always asking for snacks. But mine's a little embarrassing because it wasn't necessarily at the gym when I kind of first felt, you know, everything kind of changing. I was able to scale back my workouts and kind of take things slow. And one day I was at UMass Dartmouth and I was running late for class. So I had to I think I was only 12 weeks pregnant. I mean, I felt like I was barely pregnant at all. I was running late for class. So I had to run from, you know, light jog, not look like a fool running across campus, but I had to run from my car to the building. And then I had to walk up four flights of stairs. I had to go from, the elevator was always broken. I had to go from the ground floor to the third floor. And I was so out of breath. I had to stop on the stairs and hold on to the railing and stop and catch my breath. And that was the first time that I kind of really felt that. So from that point on, I knew that I really needed to pay more attention to my endurance. I actually was able to lift pretty decent percentages. I mean, I would say I stayed under 80%, probably stay around, I wouldn't max out my lifts, but I was able to, you know, still lift a, you know, decent percentage, and I felt great moving, lifting, you know, all the different lifts. It was mostly just my endurance, doing any type of cardio just instantly made me feel like I couldn't breathe.
Yeah. Week 15, I realized that I couldn't do my normal, you know, before getting pregnant, I was here almost 5 days a week on average. And we were also moving at the time. And everyone around me was like, are you going to slow down at all? Are you going to slow down? I'm like, I'm fine. Lucky for me, I didn't have much, you know, any really bad symptoms that unfortunately a lot of people get in the beginning. But week 15, I was kind of forced to be like, okay, I can't really keep up this routine anymore. I left to go to work and I threw up all over my center console of my car. And that was after a week of just gym every day. Totally normal routine, but it was just, it all caught up with me and I was like, okay, I get it. I'll slow down a little bit. So after that point, I definitely, I scaled back the amount of times a week I was coming to the gym and working out and stuff. But, and I didn't like that at first, but then I was like, oh, I see how good I feel now. So obviously it was necessary, but I was like, all right, I guess I should have just listened.
Change the expectations.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that gets us into our next part, the mental aspect of it. I know even myself not being pregnant, I have a very routine of how many days I think I need to get to the gym, and if I don't hit those days, I'm like, oh man, what am I doing with my life? So I can imagine, was there the mental part of dealing with working out and not being able to do your favorite lifts, because I know you love cleans. Did that take a toll on you a little bit? The lesser days, the missed movements type thing?
I hated it at first. And it drove me kind of crazy because I like having a routine. I like having a schedule. And that's always been part of what keeps me here. It's never really been an issue with motivation. It's always just been if I can get there, then okay, I will. But so I think that's part of why I didn't really listen to anyone around me when they were like, are you gonna slow down a little bit? Yeah. But it was definitely, overall, I think I've dealt better than I expected I would in terms of having to accept that I can't, especially as early as it started, like with the back squats, that was so early. I was like, oh my God, I can't already back squat. Like, what's next? Like, and so I remember when the, was it the second open? Yeah, it had to have been the second open. I was so worried that there was going to be like heavy power cleans or something and I wasn't going to be able to do it because I do like doing them. And I don't even remember if there was or wasn't because I kind of got over it pretty quick, but it was hard for me to just be like, okay, I can't do that anymore. And it's not because I don't want to or whatever. It's because, you know, it's not really safe to be doing them for me because it didn't feel good. For some people it's fine, but like I knew it didn't feel good, so that meant it wasn't a good choice. But I did not like it, but I will say I did better than I thought I would. Same thing with like just my body physically changing and like gaining weight and all of that stuff. Like I thought I was gonna have such a hard time with that, but it wasn't as bad.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was during the open when one of the workouts was cleans, and I'm pretty sure you got like, I would have crushed this workout. I can't believe it.
I mean, maybe I was a little bitter about it, but
I think you had that moment.
Maybe.
But I get over it, I guess.
Yeah.
I learned very early on to just drop all expectations because I don't like when things don't go the way I think they're going to go or the way I think they need to go. So for me, I just made like a very conscious decision very early on to just drop all expectations of I'm gonna work out this many days a week. And for me, that worked because for me, any day I did work out was like a bonus day. Any time that I did feel great was a great day versus kind of looking at it from the other end, which is like, oh, well, I have to work out today because it's already Friday. And if I don't work out today, then I'm not going to get my 3 days this week, but I don't feel good. So I was really able to kind of flip it to the other side. And it was more so like, oh, I feel great today. I should get in a workout. Or, you know, I have the opportunity right now to take a class, so I'll take a class. And then it was a great day. And it was a great workout because I dropped all of the expectations early. I knew I wasn't going to be able to, you know, max out weight. I knew some things weren't going to feel great. So it really was just a day by day, workout by workout type thing. Except for the Lurong challenge. I do remember doing that and like dreading every minute because it wasn't really a scalable thing for me at the time. So I scaled it as needed, but it wasn't supposed to be scaled. So I did struggle with that. I do remember struggling with that. I also remember like huffing and puffing through very, very pregnant burpees.
What?
Where I would basically, there is a video. I was able to kind of do a burpee where instead of laying flat down, I kind of just dropped to my hands and knees and then waddled my way back to standing. And I was so mad during that workout, but having the people, it was on a Saturday during open gym, and having the people that were there kind of just like not poking fun at me, but like just kind of commiserating with me, like, you know, like, you're a trooper for getting through this, and we know this, you know, isn't fun for you right now, so we're gonna try to make it more fun for you. Like, having the people around me was really helpful to just kind of, like, it at the end of the day, it's a workout, and it wasn't make it or break it. I was
a bolt.
Nice vocabulary. It was a great way to get through by having like friends and, you know, the community next to me kind of pushing me.
I think that's the only time that I had trouble with like that comparison type, like that mental part of it, because I would think like, I'm only this pregnant and I'm perfectly healthy, why can't I do this? Or I saw, you know, so and so doing this, like, why can't I do that?
I feel like in the beginning there were a lot of times where I had to say like, but Megan, you're having twins.
I know.
This isn't a quote-unquote typical pregnancy.
It didn't feel like that, all that real, I don't think. Like, not at least not in the context of the gym. Like, right. When I, like, trying to hang from the bar, I'm like, oh, like,
why can't I do this anymore?
Like, I'm only, whatever, 15 weeks pregnant. It's like, well, yeah, but you're 15. It doesn't matter if you're 15 minutes pregnant or not. Like, sometimes things just change on their own. Like, you don't get to decide when your body can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I feel like the mental part is definitely probably one of the harder parts of being pregnant. But, I mean, coming to our type of gym, we have a good community to where, I mean, you weren't the only one pregnant for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of kids that come here, so obviously the moms come here that have been pregnant, they know how it feels, and everyone's been very supportive, so it's kind of cool to see that, where you wouldn't normally get that if you're going to a regular...
If I was going to any other kind of gym, like, I wouldn't. I mean, and especially now, like, this far along, probably starting, like, 6 or 7 weeks ago, I would have just stopped, because sometimes I'm like, man, like, I feel like a spectacle almost, like, you know,
right.
I mean, you look very different, and it's like, look at that girl, like, you know, I don't know, lifting up, doing whatever, and, you know, obviously I don't look like most of the other people around me, so it's like, if this was a regular, like, I don't know, just a regular gym, then I just wouldn't be doing it, because I don't, it would be too much of a mental, like, self-conscious thing.
And you would get the bro with the,
tank
top with his nipple hanging out, and be like, hey, can I pick up that weight for you?
The unsolicited advice, being in a community like this, I think that we're able to trust the knowledge that we have, and especially as a team leader, you are able to kind of dig deeper into, you know, what you can do, what you shouldn't do, you know, different movements, how to scale, different options. It was just it's a very supportive environment, whereas I think that had the, you know, roles been changed and, you know, I wasn't working out in a environment that supported me working out while pregnant. I mean, I posted a couple of videos or pictures working out here and there to social media, and instantly, I mean, the well-meaning, you know, friends and family, you can't be doing that. What are you thinking? You need to be safe, you know, protect that baby. And what they don't know is that I was doing just that. I was being safe, I was protecting my baby, I was making sure that I was creating the healthiest environment for my babies. So I think that being in a supportive environment is...
It makes all the difference, I think. I mean, I'll never really understand that, but... And I remember posting something or sharing something from the open, the first, or whatever open it was, but... And I was like, oh, I wonder if people are gonna, like, say, I don't know, I'm sure well-meaning, but, like, things that are gonna make me feel whatever. But I didn't really have any of that, but.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't get it here, because it's, like, it's a supportive environment. But I think that's also part of the reason why I don't think I'd be working out at all if I was going to a typical gym, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so, and Tanya mentioned being a team leader, and I think that kind of added another element for you anyways, where you're learning basically how to coach, a little different from your normal job of the safe space.
My job in the safe space as a half therapist. Is that the one you're referring to, Dan? Yes.
I'm trying to remember what.
I'm a social worker.
Safe. You called her a safe place monitor.
That's what it was. Yeah. So as a social worker, being a coach is slightly different, and you're learning how to.
But I'm so similar.
Learning how to be a team leader at the gym, and at the same time trying to have enough energy to coach a whole class, which is takes a toll on you, especially if you're doing two in a row. So what were your kind of, I guess, initial, if not even concerns, but what were you thinking about, like, getting into the team leader program and then finishing it out and then trying to balance the classes and working out and all that good stuff?
My main concern was just, are people going to take me seriously if I can't even show them, if I can't pick up a dumbbell to show them what they're doing? I was already kind of self-conscious just because I'm learning how to coach classes. And so, I mean, I didn't have much, you know, confidence in how to do that to begin with. And then adding to the mix that, like, now I'm pretty limited in what I can do movement wise to, like, show people. So my biggest concern was, are they gonna be like, well, how is she gonna help me help to do this? But I haven't really had, I mean, obviously people haven't really made me feel that way. That was just kind of my concern about it, and so far that's gone fine. But just learning two very new things at the same time, like learning how to be a coach and or a team leader and eventually a coach, and then also learning how to be pregnant, like what to do with all of this, like what I can and can't do. Like, so that was really, that's been the biggest adjustment with trying to get through that part. But
and you found out that you were pregnant pretty early on, as in comparison to your team leader program. Yes. So did you find that you had to find, like, new ways to coach? Like, do you think that it actually helped you be a better coach by not being able to rely on simply demoing or simply, you know, you can't hang from a bar anymore. So how do you explain to somebody how to actively hang from a bar? Did you notice a change in how you were coaching?
Yeah, and I had to, and I think it was probably a blessing in disguise, because that was something that I needed to learn. Because there are a lot of things in the gym that, like, when we have them in a workout, it's easy for me to just show people, this is what you need to do. And so this kind of forced me to be like, well, now you have to be able to do that, but via someone else. So, like, trying to teach a class or instruct a class on how to lead a class on how to do something using another person that maybe doesn't know exactly how to do it the way I'm looking for. So I think it absolutely helped me kind of broaden my knowledge of how to be a team leader.
Yeah, I remember having the conversation in one of our feedbacks about how, because I remember you specifically being concerned about that. Like, well, it's an opportunity to focus on the different parts of coaching, like you mentioned, just not necessarily showing, but using your words, using tactile cues, actually putting the athlete into positions and making them look how you want to look, how you want them to look without...
Well, I think that's the difference, I think, between, like, someone who... Because before I started the team leader program, I was just another person that had done CrossFit for a long time, so I had a pretty good idea of how to do a lot of the movements. And so just because I can power clean well does not mean I can show someone or teach someone how to power clean. And I think that's the difference between... That helped me figure out, like... That's the difference between someone who can, like, who knows how to move versus who can teach others how to move.
And sometimes you don't even really know how you move. We don't have any mirrors in here.
Yeah.
That's why I'm pretty big on, like, videos, watching videos back, stuff like that, but...
In the back of my mind, the entire time I was pregnant, I just flowed like a goddess and looked like...
Right, exactly.
And, you know, I just... I think that I realized it more postpartum, not being able to demo things, which obviously you don't have any experience with yet, but more so after I had the baby, like the expectation of, like,
I love you
too. This is why you have babies, because they're cute. But the expectation of like, okay, like you look normal, like you're not pregnant anymore, but at the same time not being able to move, I found myself having to rely a lot more on, you know, my verbal cueing, and I had to kind of really dig deep to find the correct words for the correct people to get them into the positions I wanted them in, or to, without overwhelming them with, you know, words and cues and faults, tell them what they're doing wrong, how to fix it. So I think that it definitely, being pregnant definitely changes the way you're able to coach, and really makes you a better coach at the end of it all.
Yeah, because you, I mean, you can get other athletes involved. It's, they don't have to have the perfect squat, mm-hmm. but you can still, hey, person, come on over here. We're gonna go over the squat, and they're like, oh my god, I have the worst squat. But you give them that value of basically giving that one-on-one attention. Hey, let's fix Alex's squat today. I don't think we have an Alex in the gym, so you guys can't shame me. We're gonna fix Alex's squat today, and it's you're able to use those different cues, and you're able to see the person that you're trying to correct instead of yourself putting yourself in weird positions. And I mean, every time I pick up a PVC, I feel like I look like an Olympic weightlifter, but it probably doesn't look like that. So it's good. It's good to use different cues, different tactile, well, I don't know what the other ones are. Verbal, tactile,
visual.
Who's a level three around here?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I haven't heard much about anybody.
I haven't heard anything about there being a level three in our gym.
That's all the level two guys, just so you know. But yeah, so, I mean, you did really well with that. And you're still going strong, which I would have tapped out a while ago, honestly.
I mean, I sit when I coach, so I don't know if that's going
people
strong.
People are so much
don't
more...
Don't tell Ben Bergeron, he'll get you.
People It'll... are so much more understanding of the pregnant lady sitting down on a box while coaching than they are of, like, the very exhausted coach while coaching. So
I'm sure that's kind
of Odin knows nothing about that.
So I guess we've kind of been talking for a while now. I guess we got a good gist of everything. Could kind of wrap it up. So I guess really the next question would be kind of, what are you thinking for after? How do you think it's going to, how do you think your daily sheepdog athletics extravaganza is gonna be?
I hope it's an extravaganza.
It's gonna be an extravaganza, trust me.
Oh my goodness, yeah. We are gonna have pack and plays everywhere.
Pack and plays, kids throwing food at each other.
Well, Corey thinks he is not going to miss a minute.
No,
of the
Corey's
gym.
Gonna get here every day, do his accessory work. Yeah.
I feel bad.
3 hours at the gym.
I feel bad because Corey's not here, but Corey is going to be the guy that lingers while taking a quiet nap in the corner because it is the only piece that he is going to get.
Yeah. But I mean, my hope and my intention is to, like, I mean, I don't know what to expect for recovery, obviously, but I will ease my way back into it, whatever that looks like. I know there'll be some time where I just physically can't do much in the way of movement. Like, my goals, that was why I had such a hard time coming up with goals for this year.
Come on.
Was because I'm like, well, I don't even know when I'll get back in the gym. Like, right, I don't know. So, I really... Mobility will be one big thing because I notice already that I've lost some of that. Like, I can't do, like, the stretching stuff. So I'll focus as much as I can on that. And then I just want to ease my way back into, like, lifting and moving. But I'm excited, but I'm nervous because I don't know. Like, but hopefully it'll just be the same. I felt the same way when I first found out I was pregnant. Like, how am I going to know whether I can do that or not? Well, your body's going to tell you, so.
Yeah.
But I hope that I have as good a recovery as I have had pregnancy, so if that's the case, then I will, you know, be back to at least being here. Like, when I come here now, like, somebody asked me yesterday, they're like, are you working out? And I'm like, well, I'm going to move. I don't know if it's
just move
going to be, like, you know, a workout where I'm, you know, drenched in sweat and like I like to be, but it'll be something. So I'm sure we'll start there, and then I don't know, we'll see how long it'll be till I'm back to out power cleaning my husband.
Yeah. Well, that won't be long, but
I was so optimistic. I'm gonna go back. I'm ready. Let's do this. Max out Friday. Let's go.
That's how I want to, like, in my head. I'm like,
and
yes. But then
I picked,
like,
up a 35 pound barbell. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this barbell weighs a lot. Yeah. So it was actually, for me, I think more so the postpartum than the, you know, early pregnancy. It was a real dose of reality.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Tanya, your body just went through a major trauma.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, childbirth is considered a major trauma. Your body just went through a lot. You know, I think I waited until 8 weeks to go back, and I had a uncomplicated delivery. And at 8 weeks, I was, you know, all gung-ho, and then I got my nice little dose of reality, and I was like, okay, like, maybe we'll just, like, push the stroller around today, and, you know, I did a lot of, I think I got back into working out more so by coaching, demoing, things like that, than I did, like, jumping right back into, you know, Fran. So that, for me, it was just... realize that even what felt good when you were 40 weeks pregnant isn't gonna feel the same at 8 weeks postpartum. I think I felt better when I was working out pregnant than I did when I first came back to working out, which was it was mind-blowing. But it was, once you, again, drop the expectations.
Which I think I'm going to be able to, in my head, I'm kind of already a little better prepared to do that than I was when I found out I was pregnant. Because I clearly did not do it when I found out I was pregnant. I had all kinds of expectations, but then now for postpartum, I'm more like, okay, I'm just going to roll with whatever I can do. And I think being a team leader is actually going to help with that, because even if I can get back in here a couple times a week just to coach a class, which is just being on my feet and, you know, maybe some demoing if I even have to do that. But so who knows what it'll look like, but the motto is ease back into it.
Ease back into it. And you know what? Any day that you are moving is
a good day.
It's taking it slow, listening to your body. Obviously your core is going to be nothing like it was, so go with the flow, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And don't be mad when Corey comes to the gym with the kids and they're perfectly fine and awesome, and then you come to the gym and they're crying and pissed off.
I mean,
that's what happens with...
That is what happens with us. Odin yells and screams, "No, mommy, I don't want you to work out. I want to go home."
Yep.
And then when he's here with Dan, he's like, "Daddy, can we work out together?"
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm excited to see what that'll be like. I mean, I'm sure it'll have its ups and downs, but I'm excited to have them here with us. So,
well, thank you guys very much for listening through, and if you take anything out of this podcast, I want it to be that you guys are open and understanding, and if you are pregnant, or if your spouse is pregnant, or if the girl working out next to you is pregnant, that it is a huge accomplishment all on its own. Just moving, just getting through the day. And I appreciate all of you listening to the wonderful children screaming in the background here and there. But again, that's all just part of it. It is what it is. And
there's only going to be more.
There's only going to be more chaos.
That is true. All right.
Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. Thank you for coming on your first podcast. Cool. First of many to come.
First of 2020. I'll try to get more out.
Yes. If you guys have podcasts that you, or topics that you want us to cover on a podcast, let us know. We are building up our bank of wonderful things to talk about.
Yep. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and I don't know, whatever this is going to be on. All right.
We have a Twitter.
Thank you. And
we have a Twitter.
We do. Yep.
Oh.
Bye.